Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining the PLDT conference call. This conference call is being recorded. Replay information will be provided at the end of the call. At this point, I would like to turn you over to Melissa Virgel de Dios, Head of Investor Relations for PLDT, for the introduction. Please go ahead and thank you.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today to discuss the company's financial and operating results for the first half of 2015. As mentioned in the conference call invitation, today's presentation is posted on our website. For those who have not been able to do so, you can download the presentation from www.pldt.com under the Investor Relations section. For today's presentation, we have with us members of the PLDT Group Management Team, namely Mr. Manny Pangilinan, Chairman of the Board, Mr. Paulina Sereno, President and Chief Executive Officer of PLDT and Smart, Ms. Annabelle Linchua, Chief Financial Officer of PLDT, Mr. Ariel Fermin, Head of our Consumer Business, Mr. Winston Damarillo, our Chief Strategy Officer, and Attorney Ray Espinosa. At this point, let me turn the floor over to Mr. Nazareno for the presentation.
Good afternoon. Let me share with you PLDT's financial and operating results for the first 6 months of 2015. PLDT's financial results for the period largely reflect the combined effect of our growing retail and corporate data and broadband businesses, the impact of this data growth on our toll and cellular businesses, active competition in cellular voice and SMS, and the manpower reduction program we implemented in the fixed line to further improve operating efficiencies. Revenues for the period were stable at 85.2 billion, and consolidated service revenues dipped by 2% to 81.2 billion, as fixed line service revenues grew by 2% to 32.1 billion. While wireless service revenues were lower by 4% at 55.6 billion. Consolidated EBITDA for the first half declined by 7% year on year to 35.5 billion, with EBITDA margin at 44%. Core income for the period was lower by 5% at 18.9 billion, while reported net income decreased to 18.7 billion. An interim regular dividend of 65 pesos per share was declared. On page 3, let us now go through the financial results in greater detail. Excluding toll revenues of 10.2 billion, service revenues for the first half of 2015 grew by 1 billion, or 1% to 70.9 billion. Note that the rise in data and broadband revenues fully absorbed the declines in cellular domestic voice and SMS and VAS revenues. Our innovations unit, Voyager, contributed revenues of 500 million, while mainly from FinTech and Smart Money. Consolidated EBITDA dipped by 7% to 2.8 billion, primarily due to lower service revenues from the wireless business and higher cash operating expenses, mainly manpower reduction program related expenses in the fixed line. EBITDA margin for the period stood at 44%. Excluding the MRP related expenses of 1.4 billion, consolidated EBITDA would have declined year on year by 4%. Instead of 7%, an EBITDA margin would have been 45%. On page 4, core net income at the end of June 2015 dipped by 5% or 900 million year on year to 18.9 billion, primarily due to the combined effect of lower EBITDA, mainly from the decline in revenues from the wireless business, the 1.4 billion MRP or manpower reduction program expenses booked in the second quarter, and the higher gain from the sale of Meralco shares by Beacon in 2015. Reported net income for the period decreased year-on-year by $1.3 billion to $18.7 billion due to the decline in core income and net foreign exchange and derivative losses in 2015. On page five, we are happy to report that consistent with our dividend policy, the PLDT Board of Directors today declared an interim regular dividend of 65 pesos per share, representing 75% of core earnings for the first 6 months of 2015. The record date for the dividend is August 27, while the payment date is September 25. On the next slide, continuing on to the balance sheet, net debt and net debt to EBITDA at the end of June 2015 stood at $2.3 billion US dollars and 1.4 times respectively. 48% of gross debt is denominated in US dollars. Taking into account our US dollar cash holdings and hedges, only about 32% of our total debt is unhedged. About 300 million US dollars, or 17% of service revenues, in the first half of 2015 are dollar linked and thus provide a natural hedge. After interest rate swaps, 85% of our debt are fixed rate loans. Next slide, free cash flow for the first half of 2015 declined by 6%, or 1.1 billion. To 16.9 billion, largely due to the 5.1 billion in dividends received from Beacon in connection with the sale of the 5% Meralco stake in June 2014, which was fully absorbed by the 5.8 billion increase in capex and the 300 million peso rise in net interest paid. We had previously indicated that we will be accelerating a number of important capital expenditure projects to fast-track improvement in network quality and customer experience in view of the sustained growth in data usage. As part of this effort, we anticipate that our CapEx for 2015 could reach $43 billion from the original guidance of $39 billion. Included in this year's CapEx are the expansion of our 3G and 4G coverage and capacity, further extension of our fiber assets to nearly 114,000 kilometers, and increasing our data center capacity to 8,000 racks by 2016. In addition, we will continue to spend heavily on increasing network resiliency and redundancy in order to ensure the consistent and reliable delivery of connectivity to our customers. On the next slide, before we share with you updates on the different businesses, let me cite some highlights of the fixed line and wireless businesses. The fixed line segment registered a 5% year-on-year rise in service revenues to $28.8 billion net of interconnection costs. The increase in data and broadband revenues from both retail and corporate businesses exceeded the decline in legacy toll revenues by 1 billion pesos. Finally, our fixed line EBITDA dipped by 1 billion or 8% to 11.1 billion, mainly due to 1.4 billion in manpower reduction program costs booked in the second quarter. EBITDA margin stood at 35%. Excluding the impact of the MRP expense, fixed line EBITDA would have been 3% higher year-on-year and EBITDA margin at 39%. Wireless revenues, on the other hand, declined by 4% or $2.5 billion to $55.6 billion in the first half of 2015. Although data, broadband, and digital revenues grew by $1.1 billion compared with the same period last year, this was not enough to cover the $1.8 billion declines in SMS and domestic voice revenues. In addition, wireless international toll revenues were lower by $1.7 billion. Wireless EBITDA reduced by $1.9 billion 2.47% to $23.8 billion, following a $2.5 billion year-on-year decline in service revenues, partly offset by a $600 million decrease in cash operating expenses. Wireless EBITDA margin stood at 43%. And now let me turn over the floor to Ariel Fermin, our head of consumer business, after which Mr. Winston Domarillo, our chief strategy officer, will be presenting the corporate, the enterprise, and the digital business units. From there, we will proceed with an outlook and guidance for the rest of the year from our chairman, Mr. Manny B. Pangilinan.
Thank you, Sir Pauly. Good afternoon, everyone. I am Ariel, and with a newly formed consumer group of PLDT and Smart, we now have a great opportunity to look at the consumer in a more holistic, integrated way, and therefore serve his or her needs both in and out of home. Strategically, what this means to us is that our end game for a home or for PLDT home, which is to have a connected home, finally meets up with the end game for mobile, which is to lead them to a smart life. So how this manifests from a consumer-led standpoint would be we're offering the consumers entertainment everywhere, connectivity everywhere, peace of mind everywhere. So for connectivity everywhere, you'd expect a lot of data bundles, value bundles coming from both fixed and mobile in this case. Not only that, the digital services that we have for fixed, like the Telpad, the T-Volution, and Samcam, to expect that to be bundled with mobile too, so that it adds value to that one consumer. In fact, for last month, we already launched our first quad play service, where you have landline, fixed broadband, signal running on broadband, and mobile in one bill. That is convenience for the consumer, and that also spells simplicity from an after-sales standpoint for this consumer. That's the kind of magic, that's the kind of proposition, that's the kind of convergence, very practical convergence, that the consumer group can offer to the consumer, and you'd expect more of that in the coming months. Entertainment everywhere. Not too long ago, we launched our partnership with Fox, and we quickly followed it up with iFlix. I'm going to be having a separate sheet on that one, and that obviously puts a lot of value to our core broadband. How about peace of mind everywhere? Peace of mind everywhere is a very good example of a convergence as well, because our product in PLDT Home, Famcam, gets to be, well, united with mobile so that, you know, people like us working could actually know what's happening in our homes as we speak. Because that's something, and that is something that only PLDT and Smart can do. So these are just very, very simple examples of what types of convergence we've done in the past months or so. Now, these are the same consumer business concepts that we've started communicating in our new campaign for Smart, Live the Smart Life. You can see it on screen. When we continue to communicate and connect with a more digitally inclined consumer, and our proposition is anchored on brand innovation and brand leadership. Now, as we continue to bring Smart to this digital space as a brand, this gives us a little bit more space to complement it with a brand like Sun, because there will always be mainstream consumers who will look for value, choose better. From the original proposition of the good choice, now it's choose better. We've launched the two campaigns almost simultaneously. We started in June up to end July. And pleased to inform the forum that this has given us a lot of growth, particularly in postpaid. With the net gains, for mobile are four times as much as the competitor. That was something that we were so pleased with, and we're encouraged because we're just getting started. Last sheet for today for me would be just an overview of entertainment everywhere. I did mention that we had this great partnership with iflix, equally great partnership with Fox. Together, what it does to the group, the consumer group, is that it allows us to participate in all of the content windows, from live broadcast all the way to catch up to subscription video on demand. I don't think any other consumer telco can offer that breadth. So you have here iflix and Fox. We've offered it at a value that's just so accessible to the consumer. I'm sure you will remember, just ₱99 a month. All right? You know, unlimited access to all these great movies and TV series, and that would be good for five devices. And we're just getting started. As we move PLDT and Smart Consumer Group from a dominant telco company to a dominant multimedia digital company, video would just be one of the contents that we are working on. There are a lot of activities happening in other forms of content as well. There's music. We have Spinner, and of course there's Deezer. Hope you've heard of our tie-up recently with Apple Music as well. First in the world. Right? Aside from music, there's games. Right? On games, we've got GameX, and we continue to establish partnerships with all the other gamers and all the other game institutions that we offer the youth, the kids, something to enjoy over broadband. And of course, last but not the least would be social apps. Smart was the first to partner with Instagram, offered it for free over prepaid and postpaid plans so that we continue to educate our consumers on how to use these social media apps over broadband. So it helps the brand because it keeps us young, it's very strategic, and of course it helps us add value to our core broadband proposition. So that's just a brief update from the consumer group. Do expect a lot more in the coming months and quarters. Thank you so much. Now it's Winston's turn to update you more on the digital developments that are happening. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Winston Demarilla. It's my pleasure to give you the updates for the Digital Enterprise Group, as well as our Digital Innovations Group, Voyager. Let me start with Enterprise. I'll speak on behalf of Eric Alberto, our Revenue Head for the Enterprise Group. The Enterprise business continues to be our most consistent driver of growth and profitability at 14% year-over-year growth from last year. A very important component of that revenue, which is about 5.3 billion pesos, is the growth of our data center business, which is currently at about $0.9 billion, which is growing about 26%. It's a good indicator that as the country is going into the digital space, as consumers driving digital transition, the businesses are reacting at the same pace. And for that particular segment, PLDT leads the way. And leading the way starts with connectivity, which we are in a dominant position, expanding that to data centers where we have 6,800 this year, growing rapidly to 8,000 next year, and into more content within that data center. Earlier this year, we've also announced a partnership with VMware and with IBM SoftLayer to introduce enterprise-scale cloud capability within our data centers. And beyond that, we're scaling it up further into big data and analytics with the initiatives we started on Talas, which is delivered through PLDT as a protocol base. This allows us to not only continue to dominate the market, but look at continuous growth at a more accelerated pace compared to the rest of the market segment. We're also looking at the opportunity within the enterprise group to introduce innovations in mobility. Within our mobility space, we're looking at the mobile workforce and arming them not just with mobile phones, but applications that are built for mobile, as well as looking at the devices that are no longer in one facility and intelligent devices that are connected on the back end in our end-to-end initiatives. And then further scaling that up in the lower base of the pyramid within our SME initiatives, where we're bringing to market Wi-Fi. And this is a very important development for us because we are in an emerging country where internet access is still very scarce. And businesses that are going digital need to provide the ability and the capability of individual consumers to be able to transact and engage them online. Our Wi-Fi business is intending to do that by subsidizing free access, internet access, as a business. It's a form of advertising. It's a form of transaction influence. And this new businesses that we're seeing now, we are in the best position to capitalize. We look at this as great drivers for growth within the enterprise space. switching over to our Voyager initiative, Voyager was built as the digital innovations group for the PLDT Corporation. I'll speak on behalf of Doivea. What's going on in Voyager is it's becoming a much more concrete provider of capabilities that deliver digital economy to the mass, the Philippines, and our neighboring countries. Voyager's business was anchored by Smart eMoney. As you may recall, this is a business we started a long time ago. It's a consequence of being in the prepaid business. So very mature technology in Voyager in terms of payments. Now, what's happening is as digital economy grows, as more and more people prefer to transact online, prefer to acquire services online, payments become a very significant factor in making that happen. And so Voyager was able to take advantage of our anchoring technology in Smart eMoney. To date, Smart eMoney processes about 83.7 billion in throughput and has become the largest domestic remittance platform here in the country at 41 billion. We're expanding the reach of Smart eMoney beyond payments and remittances. We partnered with Rocket Internet. Rocket Internet and Smart eMoney, a combination of which is now the parent of a TV called PayMaya, allows us to take what we've built here in the Philippines with the innovation from the Smart Group into, number one, e-commerce in the Philippines, but also beyond the Philippines and into the markets where Rocket exists. So the partnership with PayMaya is expected to expand the reach of our payments capability beyond the Philippines and into 5 countries this year. We would continue to expand that capability and be a dominant regional player for payments within the next year. Over to the next slide, our fintech segment doesn't end in payments. We've also taken innovation we have to protect ourselves in trade with our prepaid system and expanded that to a much more broader functionality to secure credit cards using mobile phones. And with that, we built a product called Lock by Mobile. Lock by Mobile allows you to use your mobile phone to lock access to your financial instruments, like your credit card, your savings, your banking accounts, by just pressing your mobile phone. And it's become a security ingredient alongside a credit card. This particular business has won multiple awards in terms of innovation. And more importantly, it's now the anchor with our partnerships with the largest credit card companies like Visa. And we expect to continue to grow our business opportunities there. It's a very broad subscriber market where we have access to potentially billions of users that could use the service to protect their business their financial instruments. Continuing on down the lower right-hand quadrant, our fintech play extends to enabling the masses. G2P and Lock by Mobile or a mobile loan saver allows us to basically bring financial inclusion down to the lowest segments of the market. G2P is an anchoring technology that allows us to deliver conditional cash transfers to the poorest of the poor. And the mobile loan saver allows us to provide loans in a very atomic format. So The financial technology capabilities of Voyager continue to lead the way and has since been brought synergistic businesses that complement payments very well. If you look at the lower right left corner, Voyager is also initiated and now gone to market with our commerce segment. And within commerce, there are two very important trends. Number one, e-commerce stores have now become distributed and peer-to-peer. And with the advent of the boutique dealers or the boutique e-commerce players going online, even at Facebook with products as little as 5 to 10 SKUs, capabilities to bring them online become an important requirement to that. And Voyager, through its partnership with Payware and now going to market with it, has 23,000 merchants that have gone online. And we've since extended that at Voyager to then aggregate all these individual players into a virtual mall. And that virtual mall technology is called Takatak. Within Voyager Commerce, 23,000 merchants have now been aggregated into a universal mall that presents 295,000 products to the market. So we've grown significantly in this space. What drives this space is more and more ability for individuals to pay online, and that's synergy with PayMaya. And then the final leg of the Voyager strategy for digital economy systems is enabling more and more access to online. Like our smartphone penetration is still at 35%, but more importantly, internet penetration is still about 10% of those smartphones. So with that, Voyager also brought forth innovation to make access more easier to people that don't have internet using SafeZone. What SafeZone does is move the cost of online internet from the consumer to the businesses that would like to deliver it to them. And so we're able to do that and bring more businesses online at the same time, more consumers online. And as we start enabling these capabilities, we open more of the Filipino consumers, not just to e-commerce, but also to sharing economy capabilities like Uber or Airbnb, right, into the country. And as they get trained to use more and more online, we want to continue their experience in using it online, using technology. Yep. We have another innovation of Voyager called Power App, which allows us to sell online capabilities in a very sachet fashion, at the peso level, to access a limited time access or limited application access. So our strategy in Voyager is to continue to become the anchor for the digital economy. The revenue derived from mobile phone, as it slowly switches away from voice, dial tone, and connectivity, we wanted that replaced with revenue still derived from the phone, but now more anchored into transactions and digital economy. So that's kind of the transition mechanism that we're looking at as we venture more deeply into the digital transition. Those are the updates for both the enterprise and our digital innovation unit. And with that, it's my pleasure to turn you over to our chairman, who will provide the outlook and the guidance of the PLDT group.
Good afternoon to everybody. With respect to the guidance number for the full year 2016, we're maintaining our core net income guidance at 35 billion, which was the number I believe that we gave you in the early part of this year. You'll notice that the second half number is lower quite significantly from the first half, mainly because of the absence I think what Paulie alluded to earlier, the absence of one-off expenses, which is the MRP, the downsizing program, and the absence of one-time exceptional gain arising from the sale of Beacon Stolt Meralco shares to Metro Pacific. And typically, third quarter is the softest part of the year for us. CapEx is being guided to a higher number, approximately 10% over the 39 billion we guided earlier in the year, I think we're getting a better view of the CapEx spend for the full year. So it's up to 43 billion, which is approximately 27% of service revenue. So it's our highest historic high number in terms of the actual quantum of CapEx for the PLDT group as a whole, and the highest percentage of CapEx to service revenues. We'll get into that a bit later as to why CapEx is elevated for 2015, maybe even beyond. Dividend payout policy is being maintained at 75% regular, and then we'll just have to look back early part of 2016 to see how 2015 performed in terms of both income and cash flow. I think the caveat we'd like to put out now is that what could attenuate the high dividend payout policy, which we've had in the past, would be number one, the elevated CapEx, which is 43 billion, or up to 43 billion in the course of 2015. And we have budgeted US$100 million for new investments in the digital space. I don't think we'll exhaust that, but that's been budgeted for Voyager. The actual quantum per investment is not going to be of the size that you saw in the case of Rocket Internet, where it was about €330 million for Rocket Internet. So it would be much smaller per investment, but there's a steady flow of deep pipeline for digital. The second part, I'll just sum up I think what the previous speakers have told you, and look ahead at the outlook for 15, 16, maybe even beyond, and focus on the challenges that confront the group. At the outset, then talk about where we're most vulnerable, which is toll traffic revenues of PLDT. As you can see, you've seen a significant decline in toll revenue for the first half to the extent of 2.5 billion pesos. So we anticipate that the full year might be in the neighborhood of 5 billion. And the not so good news is that we anticipate that the decline in toll traffic revenues, ILD and NDD, will continue for the next 2 or 3 years. But you know the reason, the impact of the internet on traditional means of communication is such that it's adverse. We believe that at some point the decline in toll traffic will attenuate, will plateau. As you can see, the decline in ILD for the fix as the drop has been reducing. And at some point, it will plateau at a certain level. Quite what that level is, we don't know yet. But the toll traffic revenue for last year was around 25 billion. So this year it will be about 20 billion for us, and if we continue to decline, that's what we're saying. Of course, on the wireless side, where we are vulnerable, you've seen the numbers, would be on the prepaid wireless side of the wireless business. Not so much on voice, well, not so much on texting, because competition revenues on texting has also declined for the period. But our issue would be on voice revenues for prepaid wireless. We have made some gains on the postpaid wireless side of the business, both in terms of subscriber growth and revenue growth in relation to competition. And, of course, on the fixed line side, we have maintained our market share of approximately 80% of revenues on the fixed line side. So we managed to hold the ground on the fixed line side of the business. So those are the two quite strong points of the group. Now, what we need to do in the course of the next year or two, and we started already, is to improve the network, expand it, etc. And the build-out has started in earnest. No pun intended. The 3G cell sites, or as we speak, as of July, is around 6,500 cell sites. We started with about 4,000 as of the end of 2014, and that will continue until the end of the year to more than 7,000 cell sites that are 3G enabled. We also, on a parallel basis, we continue to build out on an accelerated basis the LTE cell sites. We have close to 3,000 cell sites as we speak, and it will grow to more than 4,000 by year end. Now, concurrent with that, we have to do other things. We need to increase the capacity of the connection between the base stations or cell sites and the core network. Our fiber has got to be increased in terms of the ability to transmit up to 100 Mbps of data from the cell sites to the core network. And I think where we're weakest now is the platform. That's being addressed as well. Now, because of all this, spend, CapEx, will remain elevated for this year and through 2016 at the least. Ariel has gone through his presentation on brand repositioning. I think it's a much crisper brand repositioning for smart talk and text and done. Now, hand in hand with that is a significant management reorganization. We have combined the consumer business under Ariel, that's the home consumer and the wireless side under Ariel, because it is really addressing the individual. And I think it's been alluded to earlier in the presentation that Ariel said we are offering quad play, sometimes quintuple play, and it's probably conceptually correct to split the revenues into this business and that revenue stream and so forth. But getting to the point where it is so fungible, when you offer the quad play, the fixed voice, the DSL, and signal over fiber run on the same network. So there's an issue internally as to how to allocate revenues. Right? So I think we might have to revisit as to how we classify the revenues generated from the aggregate consumer business. We have engaged the services of Joachim Horn, who is now our new Chief Technology Officer and Head of Network as well. There's been some significant reorganization on the finance side. Datacon of Deutsche Telekom has been engaged in the early part of this year to look at the overall network design, what are the issues, and how do we move forward. And, of course, Winston has been engaged as well as Chief Strategy Officer and assisting Voyager and the network build-up as well. It is likely some more management changes might happen in the course of this year and next year. Maybe one or two last points. Clearly, the industry is moving to data and broadband, but if you notice, the fixed-line business has grown, but that's mainly because the concentration of data broadband revenues to total revenues is already at 57%. It took us a while to get there, but that inflection point has been reached and surpassed. No? Now, on the cellular side, we're not there yet. We're five behind the 57%. Cellular is only about 19%. So the idea is to actually commit a corporate suicide by accelerating the pace of data adoption from 90% to that inflection point. We're not quite certain what that inflection point is. Is it 30%, 40% of total wireless revenues? That's something we really have to examine. But at some point, we will get there. We will have to get there by converting the network, changing the mindset from telco to digital, and doing a lot of other things that need to be done to get there. Not the first time we've fallen off the saddle, and not the first time we'll get back on that saddle. Unfortunately, all of these changes does not need immediate satisfaction. We will have to sweat bullets for the balance of this year, but others revel in our misery. but we will get there. So we anticipate the perceptible changes in the revenue mix and in the growth pattern of PLDT can only be seen by 2016. I think that's it for me. I'm just, it's like the end of the mass. You're required to make some announcements. But you won't pass the hat around. The 3Q results will be on November 3rd.
Yes.
November 3rd. And I think we had proposed an Investors Day briefing for all of you. We'd like to postpone that till after the full year results are made. So probably the early part, probably March of 2016. We have a better view of what happened in 2015, the progress we made in the course of this year. And we're able to give you a better appreciation of how 2016 could possibly shape 2016 and beyond. Thank you.
We're now ready to take questions. As usual, we'll take questions from those who joined us through the conference facility before we take questions from the floor. Operator.
Thank you. The floor is now open for your questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 slowly on your telephone keypad. Should you wish to cancel your question, you may press star 2 key. Our first question comes from Luis Hilado. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the call. I had three questions. First is on the revised CapEx guidance. Just wanted clarification if this is essentially CapEx you're bringing forward and therefore next year, 2016 onwards, you will see lower levels of at least CapEx to sales ratios, or it's really a product of just demand. Related to that is, I'm not quite sure if I caught that, but is the increased CapEx going to lead to your payout being closer to your minimum 75% by year end, or you think you can still sustain the 90%? And last question is on the mobile payment systems. You've disclosed the 500 million revenues for Voyager and the 84 billion throughput that you've handled, so about 0.6% effective commission. Is there a way for you to actually increase the yield there, or is it going to be more Voyager going to be more driven by volume rather than pricing?
Thank you, Louis, for those questions. Regarding the first question, when it comes to CapEx, as indicated, the estimate for this year will be maximum or up to 43 billion. Next year will most likely remain elevated. For this year, that means roughly about 27% of our revenues estimated this year, and for next year, most likely almost at the same level. In terms of payout, yes.
That's all right. Go ahead.
In terms of payout, we have. Granted the 75, our board has granted the 75% dividend, which, and our policy is to have a look back at the end of the year whether we are capable of giving out additional dividends. But that is what it looks like as of this point. The third.
Voyager revenue on payments is always going to be largely driven by volume. It is a fee-based product that we're going to have. So in order for us to really scale that revenue, volume must go up with it. However, because of the Voyager universe in digital enablement, increase in throughput on payments will drag along eventual revenue in commerce as well as all the other services that Voyager is offering. But to look at it point per point, the Voyager payments revenue can only go up accordingly.
But just to clarify a point, Louis, in terms of the throughput volumes we've announced, there is a trade money component for which there is no internal charging at this point.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Arthur Pineda. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I actually have four questions. First, just to clarify, you booked $1.4 billion in MRP charges in 2Q. Are there more charges in the second half? And how much could personnel expenses go down going forward as a result of this? Second question I had is with regard to your core profit guidance. I'm just curious on the guidance, which has been retained at $35 billion. And I find this surprising considering you've actually raised CapEx by 4 billion pesos, which presumably entails increased depreciation as well as financing charges. Should we expect faster revenue growth or asset sales to materialize in the second half to compensate? Third, if I could pose a question to Ariel Fermin after having warmed up the seat. After reviewing the product portfolio, what are the mobile programs do you think that need to be revamped, and how quickly do you think these new programs can gain traction to move back to revenue growth? Are you already seeing any pickups following the initiatives that have been made? Last question I had is with regard to Rocket Internet. It seems that your competitor has signed similar partnerships with Lazada and Zalora on the payment services as well. How is PLDT able to leverage on Rocket uniquely in the Philippines? Thank you.
Let me answer the first question, Arthur. Thank you for that. The MRP expense of $1.4 billion was done was credited on the second quarter, and we do not expect another of that magnitude in the second half of this year.
In terms of your question on the core profit guidance, as you can see from the CapEx number that was booked in the first half, quite a bit of the CapEx increase will happen towards the back end of the year. So the impact in terms of depreciation and financing costs is not as significant yet to this year. So I think that will be more meaningful coming into the 2016.
Got it.
Likewise, the revenues will also be more a 2016 development.
Well, thank you for your question. As far as consumer business is concerned, for postpaid, as I've mentioned earlier, we've seen great traction in campaigns that we've done for Smart and Sun, as it has led us to a growth in subs, which is four times as much as the competitor. And this is something that was obviously translated to a higher revenue growth as well. So we figured that with the brand repositioning and just being a little bit more consistent in our communication, just telling stories on who the brand is, again, to our consumers. I think the consumers got it. And in fact, if I may share, the ARPUs actually for the new acquisitions went high. So we're getting there. It's really in the context of prepaid that we need to get a little bit more traction, and that is the reality. And to my mind, prepaid is about simplicity because you're talking to people who, well, live on top-ups. And what that means is that, number one, there has to be some ease of getting in our system so that when they say, I want to avail of your promo or your service, I mean, you know, they understand that. And number two, it's going to happen. The service will be delivered. And that's what Sir MVP mentioned a while back. We need to work on our platforms. We need to work on our service delivery systems for that to happen. It's something that we recognize, and more importantly, it's something that the group is working on right now.
In terms of the Rocket Internet question, both PLDT and our competitor have relationship with Lazada and Zalora, but I wanted to point out that because of our relationship with Rocket, our relationship, our partnership with Lazada and Zalora is deeper. So it starts with payments, which we both have, but also includes Safe Zone, which allows people more access to Lazada and Zalora. And also, as you can recall, Rocket Internet and Voyager actually co-owns PayMaya, which is our payments platform. So from that standpoint, I always expect Internet to have multiple plays, just like it's customary in the Valley. But where there is a Rocket company involved, our partnerships tend to be deeper. And our co-investments, represented by both a joint venture with PayMaya, as well as our co-investment platform with PHIH, will continue to be at a very tight partnership with Rocket in Lazada, Solora, and beyond.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rama. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. My questions basically pertain to the prepaid side, which you have obviously alluded is a problem area. And in particular, looking at the Talk and Text brand and the Touch Mobile of Globe, there seems to be significant movements in market share. And also, I'm also puzzled why your voice revenues are actually going down while Globe's voice revenues are increasing in the market. So just trying to get to the extent that you can, if you could quantify or qualitatively describe what exactly is the problem in this part of the segment that you see, that would be good. And perhaps more importantly, have you launched any new products or any new promos to address this issue at the moment, or are you still in the analysis phase? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. I just wanted to give perspective on the brand TNT, right? It is, and you're correct, it's one of the brands that has quite dipped in terms of market share. It is not really talked about a lot in a big forum like this, but in reality, it's very regional in nature. That's where we felt the dip in market share. In large part because we needed a platform that would allow the consumers to extend their service for a minimal fee of, say, 5 pesos a day. We didn't have that for the longest time. The good news is now we do. And as soon as we had it, we launched it. And we launched it in areas where we felt that the TNT brand needed most help. That would be in some parts of Luzon, some parts of Mindanao. The initial results have been encouraging. Perhaps I'll be in a better position to share with you, you know, the benefit of this new functionality in adding revenue for TNT and, of course, gaining share back.
And would you be able to comment on the voice revenue side in terms of why your voice revenues are actually going down along with volumes while your competitor seems to be making a strong inroads? Is it just purely a market share shift leading into that, or is there something else that is going on? Thank you.
Well, of course, there's the part of the ecosystem, you know, consumers moving to data, and of course, they have other alternatives aside from using linear voice. But there's also, I do recognize the other piece where in the functionality I just mentioned where the competitor has and we didn't have it, they were able to extend even the voice service for a minimal fee of, say, 5 pesos a day. And that's what led to their voice growth. And we recognize that and something that we do have right now and therefore would be able to respond a little bit more appropriately, you know, from here on.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one and kindly record your name. Our next question comes from Niraja. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is once again on the operational trends in this particular quarter. I'm quite surprised because last quarter we talked about monetizing, you know, some of the data offers, beginning to monetize, right? So I'm surprised that the pickup in the internet growth is not as it's strong QQ, but then if I look at like year over year growth, it's actually come off quite a fair bit. And at the same time, what has happened specifically this quarter that, you know, the voice and SMS has become a lot more weaker? Because initially when you launched the free internet offer, the impact didn't seem as significant or as worrisome as people were expecting it to be. So any color you can give on that would be helpful. That's the first question. And secondly, in terms of the network investments as well, I mean, I'd like to understand what you're sort of provisioning. I mean, I know you've taken the CapEx up, but what are you provisioning? Because if you go back to our 3 quarters before, I mean, initially you didn't seem to think, you know, higher CapEx was the answer. So it's, I mean, how do we know this is a good number? It'd be good if you can sort of talk about any coverage targets or what sort of capacity growth you're looking at. That's the second thing. Yeah, so we can start with that first.
I think in terms of, you know, monetizing data, it still goes back to what we have discussed earlier. Part of it, there is an element where we continue to try to stimulate the adoption of data in the market. So there are still some elements of free types of promos that have been offered throughout the period. So that's part of our overall strategy in terms of trying to get the market to adopt in a greater way the mobile internet usage. Mm-hmm. Then it also goes back to this point that for data to be enjoyed, you do need to have 3G networks in place with the right coverage, the right capacity. You do need the ability for customers to experience ease of use. So it goes back to the points that Ariel spoke about earlier, and then we tied it back to the fact that there's an element of investment that is needed by the business to fully grow the data. And in fact, the probably part of the discussion is that what has been programmed for the next 2-3 years, we are effectively front-loading it because of the speed at which data growth can or is happening.
I'm asking you at the moment. Okay, and just in terms of the voice and SMS trends that sort of seem to have weakened in this quarter, I mean, any color that you can give around that?
I think the SMS trends are largely what they are in terms of people starting to shift their usage and their behavior, particularly as smartphone adoption happens.
Okay, so this is not anything from competition, but more like what you're seeing within your subscriber base, basically.
Yeah.
Hello?
It's an industry-wide phenomenon now where the texting revenues have dropped for the industry as a whole, so I don't think we should be surprised where that's happening with consumer shifting to data.
Okay, and on my question on CapEx, any sort of other measures that we can think about when you're making these investments?
Well, it's slightly more complex. I think the answer is slightly more complex than just giving you a number, like, you know, number of cell sites, 3G cell sites is 6,500. We grow to more than 7,000 by year end, and so forth and so on. I think that's essential because the infrastructure has got to be laid out. We thought we had more cell sites at the end of last year. It turned out the number was not as we had anticipated. So that's why in a way that accelerates the plan to develop the cell site. But that's not the end of the network issues. There is still a need to optimize the network, say, within a given area or cluster. We're currently engaged, as you build the network, the optimization program is ongoing as well. So it's like, you know, putting a new tire where the car is moving. So that is ongoing because it's not just a question of building so many cell sites and then you're not optimized. For one, you may have too many cell sites in the same cluster, so to speak. And for another, the landscape, particularly in Metro Manila, is changing ever so often. When a new building is built or when an old building is torn down, it simply changes the cell, the landscape. So that optimization has got to be adopted. It's got to be a yearly program. So it starts from A to Z, then back to A again. It's got to be an ongoing program. And then the data, we lag behind. I must say we lag behind in the adoption of the digital experience for subscribers. And whilst we have, I think the past few months, you've seen significant digital initiatives on the part of the consumer side, Ariel, and Voyager side, and I think on the Voyager side, we are likely to be the leading digital developer in the country today. And I think we have not really given a fuller view of what's happening at Voyager. For that reason, and for the reason that even if you're able to build the cell sites required, as we see it, the consumer, the subscriber has got to be given the ability to access the service and be flexible about the service that he or she requires, and which means the platform has got to be remedied. So that's also ongoing, right? And that whole thing is a whole ball of wax. It will not happen. So, yeah, as Annabelle said, you have to spend the money up front. You won't see the revenues immediately. It will only happen starting 2016.
Okay, so I mean, I guess I was just trying to see if this is all just catch-up capex, but you're also sort of some of this is to cater to the future demand as well.
Absolutely. And I think if I may venture to guess, the voice traffic has dropped for the prepaid wireless, mainly because we lost subscribers to Globe.
Okay.
Partly because of
got
the,
it.
Was made by the
sorry.
Internet.
So. All right, thanks very much.
Are there any other questions on queue?
As of the moment, we don't have any questions on queue. I'll hand the call and floor back to you.
Take questions from the floor. There are microphones in the...
Hi, good afternoon. I recognize the growth in your data and broadband revenues. So my question is, how much was the data usage of your consumers for the first half of 2015 and the growth of it from last year?
For mobile internet, the usage increased by about more than double, 170%.
For, I think, dongle is about 30%. In one way, I think when we think of cellular, it is your traditional measure of voice minutes and texting volume. And now the world is now clearly digital. So what is that measure? Of course, the end product of it is your revenues. And what Anna is saying?
Traffic.
Okay. Now, it looks like on the mobile internet, there are more terabytes than competition. But we lag behind in revenues. The question is why? So we're not able yet to monetize the data traffic on mobile internet as the others have done. So we need to understand what that is. Now, when you look at the total cellular system, total terabytes throughput for the first half was 643 terabytes a day. So the question to us, and we don't know the answer here, is that how can we monetize that huge volume of terabytes? Now, we're getting the data as well as the fixed line side. What is the volume of data throughput that goes to the fixed line system on that side of the business? There, I think we've been more successful. Partly because the shift started many years ago and the concentration of revenue on data is much, much bigger, about three times bigger than it is on the cellular side. So we have to think digital. We have to throw away our telco metrics. And at some point, we have to tell you what the data profile is of the group and how we're monetizing it. Because at the end of the day, billions of terabytes or petabytes on a system, but if revenues continue to drop, we're not successful in translating the volume into pesos.
Other questions from the floor? Good afternoon. My question relates to the movement of these subscribers. your subscriber base, some of it lost competition. Are you able to share how much on a per product segment, like on the basis of stock and tax, or just on the prepaid side of it?
Close the subscriber numbers in our MD&A so that it will be laid out in terms of the device brand. So we'll make that information accessible.
And how serious is the concern over the subscriber being lost to competition? And would your monetization of data traffic depend on the recovery of those subscribers in the prepaid? How is this new functionality of the 5 peso? The extension of which is already offered by your rival. How big a factor would this be in terms of the recovery of some of the lost subscribers?
There's no denying that the lifeblood really of mobile is in subspace because they will have critical mass. Lose a good number of subs was actually was telling. In which Annabelle has mentioned, we shared with you the details. That's one piece. The other piece would be, it was hurting enough to do some subs, and it was a little bit more damaging that we didn't have the functionality for our remaining subs to enjoy the benefit of extending that offer for an affordable price. But the good news is now we do, right? And therefore, we'll just move on because we have that functionality already in preview. And in the process of having it, coupled with other initiatives that we have, we hope to gain back ourselves. But it wasn't just about the functionality of platform or network and all those things. It was also about building the brand, getting back the trust, distribution, visibility. As you know it, what happens as you operationalize a business like prepaid. But the trick is that, as I've said, prepaid is about simplicity. It is just about simplicity because you talk to people who really just wanted to get access. And therefore, we need to be in a position where, as much as it's a bit complicated in the kitchen, when it faces the consumer, it is just so simple.
Just on the margin trend, like you achieved 44%, your fixed line is about 39 and 43 for the cellular. What's the outlook if you're able to roll out some of your brand repositioning, make the distinction clearer between your talk and text and cellular? Would the 44 be the norm or like 45 better for next? Let the EBITDA margin.
One of the more impactful numbers in terms of EBITDA margin is the fact that we have to contend with the decline in the toll revenues, which are very, very high margin, which practically goes down to the bottom line, versus growing data revenue, which are inevitably more complex to deliver and ergo have a lower margin. So we've talked about this in the past, that as we shift our revenue streams from the traditional long-distance revenues to data, there is an impact in terms of margin dilution as we kind of face that type of a transition.
No, and that concerns us, obviously, because, I mean, we've had blessed days. Texting volume was growing, and margins on texting was very significant. And even the toll traffic, you know, when more than 50% of the revenues of PLDT were driven by international, right, and accounting rates were more than a dollar at the time. Not dissimilar to the model of an airline, international business subsidizing local business. That has disappeared. So that toll traffic routine decline, and it's been replaced by data, but the margins have been lower. So from one perspective, from a delivery system perspective, I think you have to anticipate the pressure that will be created on the margin of the infrastructure itself. But you need it. So you have to look at other collateral businesses where margins can be created. And that's really the digital content. That's why we invest in significant Voyager and on multimedia. Because that will be relatively unaffected. That will be needed by anybody in any event. That's how we're trying to address the margin pressure, which will inevitably affect everybody, not just us, but everybody else.
Specifically on the cellular, on on the Sun brand. So what were your initial expectations and were they met by recent performances? The Sun brand. How was it performed?
The Sun brand, right? Please inform you that ever since we launched Sun under the Choose Better campaign, as I mentioned earlier, it has grown, particularly for postpaid, both subs and ARPU. But then again, we have to give credit to that brand to begin with. Sun, organically, is strong when it comes to just having that value proposition to consumers. And it has not lost that, you know, that connection with the consumers. We took advantage of what is organically Sun's. And we kind of spun it. We spun it. And the market has, the consumers have responded favorably. So we're quite happy with the performance.
Any other questions on the floor before we go back to the conference facility? Operator, there's one question.
Thank you. Our question comes from Princy Singh. Your line is now open.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I just had one question. Could you let us know on the wireless side for the market as a whole, what percentage of calls would be on-net versus off-net? And, you know, the recent market share shift which, you know, we have seen, I mean, would the interconnect dynamic have any material impact on a margin shift between you and Globe? You know, I'm grateful if you could provide some color on this.
I have info, but I'll just get back to you on that, Prince, if you don't mind.
Sure, no worries. We can take this offline.
Thanks. Any other questions on the call or on the floor?
Over the phone, we have no further questions.
Other questions? If you could read the replay information.
Okay, thank you. Now, I would like to give everyone the instant replay information for today's call. This conference will be available on a 24-hour instant replay starting today, daily on through August 17, 2015. The replay information for the 3 p.m. call is for the U.S. toll-free number, that will be 1-800-839-3144. U.K. toll-free number is 0800-376-5675. The Hong Kong toll is 852-3018-4333. Singapore toll-free is 1-800-120-5775. Japan toll-free is 00531-122-368. Australia toll is 612-8030-3033. Passcode is 5774, and the conference leader will be Ms. Melissa Verhel-Didios. Now I'll turn the conference back to PLDT for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you.
Well, I really have not much to add. So we look forward to, thank you for attending today, for your patience, and look forward to seeing you again on November 3rd.
Thank you. And that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your line in your own time.